Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanishing Goggleland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 304, season 13. Today's date is February 10th, 2024, and welcome to the show. On today's program, I'm going to talk about the 60th anniversary of the Beatles appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show. They appeared on February 9th, 1964. I'll talk about my memories of the Beatles, listening to their music, and watching their movies on television. Also, I'll talk about the CTA bus route 17 Westchester. So I'll talk about its history of that. I'll do my best on that bus route. But first, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Easy Bake Oven. And this commercial is from 1968. So sit back and relax, and be right back with the show, folks. Thank you.
Come on, kid.
I love my Easy Bake Oven.
Do you know how to work it and all?
Of course. You just put the Easy Bake mix in here, and when it's done, it comes out here like this, easy as pie.
And when the pie was open, the bird began to sing.
My Easy Bake Oven comes with enough mixes to make all these things, and now I can get extra mixes to make cookies.
It's Kenner. It's fun.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Easy Bake Oven. Everyone remembers this product when they were growing up. It was introduced by Kenner Toys. 1963, and originally the toy had like a light bulb, you know, it's like a, so you bake like a regular oven, and it came, the oven came with packets of cake mix, with brown pans, even for cookies or other goodies you want to do that, and so it, it was, I remember watching the commercials from the 70s, and then Hasbro bought the company later on, and you know, it's changed over the years. That commercial, the person that's talking to the little girl was that was the Goonie Bird. He was a puppet. That's what he was. And so he was the corporate mascot for Kenner Toys like that. And he would always say, "It's Kenner. It's fun." I remember that. And so in 1968, the person who created the, well, he didn't create it for this particular commercial, was Jim Henson of the Muppets, and he created that bird, the Muppet version of the Goonie Bird. And I remember watching that, you know, when I was little. I used to see that, you know, like it rang a bell like that. And you know, I never had one. Well, you know, girls did that at the time, you know, but I think I was invited to somebody's house, and this little girl had an Easy Bake Oven. I asked her, "Can you cook something?" And she goes, "No, I can't. My mom won't let me." you know, and that. But it, I was, you know, I just, I'm interested. I was interested to see like that. Now everyone cooks, you know, men, women, you know, you have cooking shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, on television. So that's a good training, you know, to do the Easy Bake Oven like that. But it's a good toy. It's a very good toy. Okay. And, all right, so at the beginning of the program, I mentioned I'm going to talk about the 60th anniversary of the Beatles' appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And also I'll talk about the CTA bus route, the 17 Westchester. Before I got started, I always do this all the time. I'm going to talk about my health status, but this was kind of unusual this week. When I saw my urologist last year, and the oncologist, they told me, get a blood test before you see us. And they said, go see us around late January, early February. So I did. I went there this week, went for the blood test, and I got the PSA results. And it went up to 99.96. The dumb thing I did is I put 99.6, and that's like a temperature, and it's like, ooh, that's too high. You would be like in the hospital, or you'd be dead, like that. But I fixed it. I got too carried away. So originally it was like 4.6 or something like that, and then it just elevated. I mentioned this before, that my calcium is elevated. So when I saw my oncologist last year, he said, you know, we will try a new medication and then we'll try to get the calcium down because it's elevated. It's because of the Xtandi, of the medication. That's what caused it. And that's probably why I have a spot on my 10th right rib. It could be metastasized, maybe not, or it's part of the calcium because it's on a bone like that. So if we lower the calcium, it's a good possibility the PSA will go down and I can continue taking Xtandi or maybe nothing at all, which would be great. I have to wait till 12 days, February 22nd. It's possible they might call me earlier. You know, maybe do another bone scan like that. But about a few months ago, they didn't send me any more to Xtandi because there was something changed in the insurance. It was some screw up, something goofy. And I didn't receive it for about a month and a half and I did not take it. So that's probably maybe that's because the PSA rose. Like that. So when I see the urologist, like in November, I explained what happened. He knew about it and he said, you know, your PSA is rising. And I said, well, doctor, do you remember, like, I didn't take Xtandi for a month? And yes, oh, that's probably it, you know. Because I asked him, how long does it take effect, you know, for the PSA to go down when you take this medication? He said 2 or 3 months, you know, to slowly decrease. So that's probably it. So I resumed about late October, around Halloween or something like that. And then it's February now. So it's about 3 or 4 months now, but it, you know, maybe it's going down a bit because it was like 10.7. So it's possible, you know, it could be that. Or there's something else in my body. I don't know. I was disappointed and I'm also scared, you know, and I told people on social media what was going on. But I didn't explain what I'm telling you now, you know, what the entire story like that. I feel fine. I go to the bathroom normally, you know. I feel like I've lost weight. I feel thin, but I don't look it in a way. I do feel it. But I still have the side effects, you know, of the Xtandi. It's like sweating and being fatigued. Sweating doesn't come that much, not before. It's like once in a while. And but the fatigue, it hits me like at night, late at night, or during like to the day, and I just have to lie down. I can't go anywhere. You know, I get the feeling in my feet and all that, and my legs, and I just want to go to sleep, you know, and get a good night rest. And I do, and then I wake up, I'm fine. You know, I'm doing okay. So hopefully everything will be fine. You know, usually when your PSA rises, it means there might be cancer lingering around somewhere. You know, my urologist did the best he could when he operated me in April 2020, and he got the prostate out, which is great. But there's like little microscopic cancer cells left on the prostate bed. You know, really tiny. You can't see it. I had radiation done. But it's slow growing. It's very, very slow. And if it pops up, you know, we'll deal with it. So I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully I'll be all right. I hope so. You know, someone told me if you live after 5 years, you're going to be okay. It'll be 5 years this December. So, you know, I'm just scared and I'm nervous like that. And, but I want to thank everyone for their comments and their well wishes, you know, from my friends, followers, family, you know, I appreciate them all, but please don't worry. I think I have to beat this. I have to fight it. They always tell me just fight it and I will. Okay. And, I pray to God, everything will be all right. All right. All right. Now, on to the fun. So I'm going to talk about the 60th anniversary of the Beatles' appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, I did not watch it because I was an infant when this happened. I was about 4 months old. You know, I was a baby. My mom watched it. And you know, she was my father worked at the Conrad Hilton Hotel. He was a waiter. He worked nights. So my mom was alone and she took care of me at the time. And, you know, most of the time she just did that. She, you know, she cooked my dinner. She changed me, blah, blah, blah. And she watched television. And that's the only way she learned English, because she only came to America about a couple of years before. And so she learned. So she watched the Ed Sullivan Show every Sunday. She loved the show. You know, they had different acts, you know, singers, comedians, dancers, all kinds of entertainment. That's what was great about it. It was a great variety show. And she did watch the Beatles on TV. You know, she didn't understand who they were, what they sang. Where they came from, and she told me this story. She goes, "Who were they? What are they doing? And why are the girls screaming like that?" So she saw most of it, but you know, she was taking care of me like that, and it was so funny, and then. When they appeared on February 9th, it was seen over by 73 million viewers, you know, on television. That's a lot of people. A lot of people indeed. Oh, my God. And it was announced prior, you know, they came to, like that. They had like press conferences at the hotels in New York and like that. And it was the first time they arrived in America. But George Harrison came before, because his sister lived in Illinois. But so he was the first Beatle that arrived. He visited America. This was his second, you know, technically. And so they appeared on February 9th. And, you know, Ed Sullivan interviewed him. He talked to him. And then they next appeared the following Sunday. They performed again, you know, and then he appeared on February 23rd, but that was taped. So, but only Ed Sullivan, you know, introduced him like that. And then The last time they appeared on the Beatles, no, the last time they appeared on Ed Sullivan was in 1965. And that was it. You know, and they sang all their famous songs like that. And then they went on their concert tours and all that. Then the Beatles, they performed in the International Amphitheater that was located at 43rd and Halsted, also at Comiskey Park. And then they made the movies. My memories of them started at an early age. I remember seeing them on TV somewhere, like in the movies, like, for example, Hard Day's Night, The Help. In the 70s, the first time I saw the Beatles, I think not the very first time, maybe in full view, was the 3:30 movie on Channel 7, WLS TV, where they broadcast Help. And I was like, oh, I was mesmerized. I go, wow, this movie's great. The music is great. It was, I didn't understand the movie much, but they were running around like that. It looked like a Monkees episode. yeah, it was great. So, and then Hard Day's Night, I watched it like the late 70s. It was on 10:30. I saw the ad in the TV guide and I go, oh, I'm excited. I got to watch this movie. Luckily it was Friday night, so I could stay up and watch it. And I watched it for the first time. I love the movie. They played their hits, you know, when I was a kid, you know, they sounded funny because they're from England, that they talk that way. So, just being themselves, you know, but it was a good movie. I loved the movie. I really did. And, so I saw that, Magical Mystery Tour. I saw it once, probably on Channel 50 later on. But I did see Yellow Submarine on Channel 9 during high school, the first time, the very first time in full length. And that's a strange movie, a very strange, you know, it's cartoon. The Beatles appear at the end of the movie, you know, start singing like that. But I like the movie. It was it's interesting like that. Of course, On the broadcast of February 9th, there were other guests on the show. Like, for example, from the cast from the musical Oliver, and there was an actress named Georgia Brown. And the one cast member that was very famous in there was Davy Jones from the Monkees. He was in there. Little did we know he would go and become Davy Jones from the, you know, the Monkees, but he was there. But you know, nobody noticed him at the time. No, like that. All the performers are like pushed aside, you know, like that. And you know, the funny thing is, the girls are still screaming for the Beatles. I have the show on DVD. So once or twice, and you know, they performed and all that, and but this is the full length show. So, but I hear the women screaming like that, so it was amazing. And other people that performed on the show was a Welsh singer. Her name is Tessie O'Shea. She performed a song called "Two-Ton Tessie." The girls were still screaming. Yeah, they were still screaming. Oh my God. Like that. And also there was a magician. His name was Fred Capps. He was from the Netherlands. He performed magic tricks, you know, card tricks and all that. And also there was an acrobatic act. And it was called Wells and the Four Fays. Now, one of the interesting things is one of the members of the act was the mother of Tony Basil, who did Mickey. You know, oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're fine. You'll blow your mind. Hey, Mickey. You know, that one. And, of course, you had the comedy team of McCall and Brill. That's Charlie Brill and Mitzi McCall. They were a husband and wife. They performed together. Later on, they performed on Roland Martin's Laughin'. They performed their act, but you couldn't. They couldn't hear themselves. The girls were still screaming for the Beatles, and they said they were embarrassed, you know, and they said, "Oh, our career's over." But no, everything went okay. But they, like I'm saying, they didn't enjoy their time there, you know. And of course, last but not least was Frank Gorshin. He was a comedian, best known as the Riddler from Batman. He performed there. He performed on the show. Now, I don't know if those acts met the Beatles backstage. Maybe. No clue. No clue at all. Okay, so over the years, I've listened to Beatles music on the radio, like, for example, WLS, AM or FM, sometimes on, you know, other Chicago stations. I have bought the, there was the those two albums, you know, the one with the red and the blue. I bought the cassettes when I was a teenager, and I put it in the car. And I used to love listening to that, you know, and you start from the beginning, all the way from 1962, all the way to 1970. It's not all the major hits, but it's most of them. That's pretty cool. It's a compilation of their greatest hits. And they keep releasing, re-releasing their albums and all that. And then it was available for iTunes later on. And I bought a couple of songs on that. And and then about 50 years later, in 2014, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr appeared at the Ed Sullivan Theater with David Letterman. And I watched that special, and it was beautiful. I loved it. Oh, it was great. And I wish John Lennon and George Harrison were there, but they passed away. If they were asked to perform with them, probably. Yeah, George Harrison, yes, most definitely. John Lennon, maybe. You know, but when you get older, you're like, okay. He probably would. Also, there was a rumor that on Saturday Night Live in the old days that they were trying to get the Beatles performed, have a reunion, but it didn't happen. I know George Harrison appeared early, you know, he guest hosted. I don't know if Ringo Starr, I know Paul McCartney did later on. I don't know about Ringo Starr, maybe. I don't remember. But the Beatles music still lives on to this day. I love their music. I really do. Right now, I'm going to play a bumper for the TV show. It's very short. It's about 9 seconds. You know, you just listen, boom, over. You know, and it's an announcer is saying that the Beatles they're coming up next on the Ed Sullivan Show. So here's the bumper from 1964 on that day, February 9th. And then when I come back, I will talk about the 17 Westchester CTA bus route. Okay, folks? Thank you.
The Beatles.
England's rock and roll sensations make their bow to American audiences on our show.
Next on the CBS Television Network.
Okay, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the bumper for the Beatles appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show on February 9th, 1964. I know it's very short. It's like, it's over. So, I'm glad I talked about this. Oh my God, it's so long ago. You know. And, you know, I asked my mom the other day about the Beatles, and, you know, she still thinks they're weird, you know, with the long hair. I mean, compared to people today, what they look like. I mean, every day's Halloween when you go out. You know, people with their colored hair and their body piercing and their tattoos. Compared to them, they look normal. That's nothing. It really is. I have to show that. I tried. So, okay. Right now, I'm going to talk about the 17 Westchester CTA bus route. Like I said before at the beginning of the program, I'm going to do my best to explain the history of this bus route. So here we go. this bus route before, it was like a, it was like a train like that. And it was opened in 1926. And it lasted from there until 1951. According to the ChicagoL.org website, so that started from the Des Plaines Avenue L stop, and it was the Garfield Park Line, like that. And it was starting from Des Plaines Avenue, and then it would make stops from next to 5th Avenue, 11th Avenue, 17th Avenue, 25th Avenue, Bellwood, Harrison, Roosevelt Road, Canterbury, and Mannheim and 22nd Street in Westchester. And so the actual route was actually from Des Plaines and then just stopped at 5th Avenue, Bellwood, and then Mannheim and 22nd. You know, I never knew that. I thought it was just a bus, you know, just a CTA bus, you know, the 17 Westchester. I never knew it was a train before. I just found that out like that. So that was pretty cool like that. I don't know why it stopped. Maybe because it wasn't popular, you know, the demand that is, or it was just, there was because back time, suburban Cook County was growing like that. So I guess they just didn't need it anymore like that. And let's see. So the bus route was introduced on December 9th, 1951. And it lasted to a long, long time until December 16th, 2012. And it was replaced by the Pace Bus 317. And so it's just, but it started in 1992. It gradually, you know, replaced it like that. And then the OWL service, which means that bus route, was running 24 hours a day. That ended in 1976. And then weekend service transferred to Pace ended in February 1992. And midday started in 1998. Okay. So, you know, there's a couple of videos on YouTube that shows the actual bus route going there, which is kind of interesting. You know, I watched a few minutes of that. I want to watch the whole thing soon. So that was fascinating. But according to the CTA bus stop sign, maybe it's the same thing. So it goes like this. So it goes from, I'm going to start from like Balmoral, Canterbury, Balmoral. Yeah, it goes from Des Plaines, Madison. It goes on Madison Street, Bellwood, Westchester. And it's a road. And Balmoral and Roosevelt. Like that. And let's see, I got the map here. Yeah, so it does that, you know. So it goes like from Des Plaines and then it turns on Madison, and then it just it's changed over the years, you know, a little bit. It's tweaked. It's tweaked a lot. You know, I never rode this bus route. I live on the south side. This was on the west side, but I remember one time driving around the area in Westchester. Because there's Holy Apostles Greek Orthodox Church there. I visited once or twice there for some events. So I was curious. I want to see the bus route. You know, this was in the 80s or like that. I had my car. So I drove around and I drove where the final destination was, which was at which was, of course, at Balmoral and Canterbury, and I want to see the bus stop signs. I like to see that. And I saw it, and then there was the bus coming, you know, and I wanted to follow it, like, to see where it was going like that. So that was a good, extension of that. And so I followed that, and, you know, but only up to like about Madison. And then I just came back. And then, you know, I just went home, you know, like that. So this is when with their the green limousine, like in the 80s, like that. So that was fascinating. Yeah, it really was. It was fun. So it was at the Congress Rapid Transit Line, you know, at the first stop, which is in Forest Park, Illinois. Like that. So if you hop on the, you know, the Congress line, you know, from downtown, and then you would just go all the way at the end to Des Plaines Avenue, and if you, and you wait for the bus extension, you just hop on, and it'll take you to the suburbs. Like, for example, if you live in Maywood, Bellwood, or in Westchester. And get off there. So that's good for the people who lived in those suburbs, you know, if they commuted downtown. Of course, they have the Pace bus now. I'm sure they do now for that. Okay. All right. So that's it for this episode. I'll do a recap of what I talked about. I talked about the 60th anniversary of the Beatles appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show. They appeared on February 9th, 1964. And I talked about the 17 Westchester CTA bus route. This podcast will be published today, wherever podcasts are available, on any apps. For example, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, also Breaker, Overcast. Also will be published on my blog, www.danchicagoland.blog. Also will be on my YouTube channel. Again, if you want to listen to my podcast, the easiest way to do it is on my YouTube channel. Hit subscribe. First, do a search. Hit subscribe. You can listen to previous episodes if you like. And also be sure on my social media accounts, Facebook, X, Instagram, Threads. It's on LinkedIn, Reddit. Also, it's on Blue Sky. I just received an email about Blue Sky. You needed an invitation to sign up for Blue Sky. Now you don't have to. I think you could sign in. Easy as pie. And you could find me there. But so far, no one hasn't found me. So hope they'll grow. You know, you got to get the word out like that. I have a code. I can invite people if I want to. But I think it's open to the public now. You don't have to get an invitation. You know, it's open invitation. Okay. I will do another podcast tomorrow. Probably. We'll see. Tomorrow's the Super Bowl. I hope everyone will watch it. I probably won't. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not into football. It's a long story. I don't want to talk about it. So, yeah, but I probably will do it. Do another podcast episode tomorrow morning, and I got to think of something what I'll discuss. So this is Pete Costanis, your host of Vanishing Chicagoland Stories. Thank you for joining me. Today is kind of chilly, not too sunny. It was sunny yesterday. It was beautiful. Yeah, kind of cool. So everyone have a great weekend. So here's bye-bye for me, and here's a little traveling music from Ray Rayner saying bye-bye-bye. Take care, everyone, and so long.
We have to go. Bye, bye, bye.